how about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Jean-Lit Foot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome back to another edition of The Winning Drive. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Davis, joined by the coach. He's a former high school football coach at Brownwood, Capel, Belton, Rotan, Burnett. Also played played college football at Abilene Christian. Coached there as well. Coached at the University of Texas. He's got 2 sons also who are very, very talented young men. He is the coach, Bob Shipley. What's going on, coach? Also, hey,
look at that, man.
Hey, ShipleyRanches.com, baby. Check that out if you want to find out what he's up to these days. What's going on, coach? Coach Bob Shipley. What's up, brother?
Hey, man. It's all good. Grass is green, flowers are growing. It's all good, babe. Blue skies and rainbows.
Hey, you said you sold that house, right? So now you totally moved into the new crib?
Yep. I ain't got nowhere to hide anymore. I used to be able to walk next door and hide out of my house for a while, but I don't have that anymore.
Hey, I like that, Morgan. If this show was an OU fan channel, it would be called The Whining Drive. Well done. Well done.
Good one, Morgan.
Yeah, hey, you know what? It hurt a little bit when the Longhorns lost out on a defensive tackle commitment to Dominique Williams to their hated rival, Oklahoma. Well, it just feels damn good when you can actually flip a transfer portal commitment at D-tackle from your hated rival, Oklahoma, which is exactly what Texas did today. They get Jermaine Lole, who was committed to Oklahoma and has now decided to flip. They flipped that commitment back to Texas. He said, I believe the quote was, he was on the wrong side of the red.
Yeah, I saw that. Very, very well put, young man. Very well put.
I like his style already, coach. I like his style now.
big time run stopper, baby. 6'3", 310. He can plug those holes up, maybe 2.
Hey, a gap and a half, right?
That's right.
Hey, that's what Savondre Sweat could do really well, man. A guy can plug multiple holes for you. All right, so we'll get into that. We'll start off. Obviously, that's the big topic of conversation on the 40 acres. My man CJ Vogel will be joining us. He's on CJ's grinding, man. CJ is He's just one of the hardest working guys in this industry. So he's grinding right now. He will join us a little bit later on. So don't worry about that. I think he's going to join us from his car or from some random place. I think he's looking for a signal. And he's got, I don't tell him where CJ's going to be when he joins us, but he will be joining us to answer some of y'all's recruiting questions. So don't worry about that. We'll start off talking about Jermaine Lole and his commitment. Also, we'll get into there were some betting lines released for some of the college football games coming up in the 2024 season. Obviously, Longhorns got a lot of big games their first year in the SEC. I believe 5 Longhorn games, actually. The betting lines were released for 5 of those games. If we have time, we'll get into that, too, coming up a little bit later on. Thank you guys for joining us, man. That's the best part of this thing is getting to talk to you guys, answer your questions. So throw out as many questions as you can, and we'll answer as many of them as we can. Super chats, of course, disrupt the show at any time. You know how that goes. So throw out your super chats, and obviously we will graciously accept, but we also will make sure that we answer those first and foremost. So we appreciate you guys on that. And also a little bit later on, I want to get to Sark did an interview with my man Sid Golden and Kirk Bowles of the On Second Thought, I believe is the name of their podcast. And there's a couple of nuggets that Sark brought up from that interview that I want to bring up and ask you about, Coach. If we have some time, like I said, I know we're going to be loaded talking about the latest member of the Texas transfer portal recruiting class, if you will, the transfer portal class, which is Jermaine Lole. So get your questions in. We'll also get to a little bit later on. Like I said, we'll get to some actual conversation about the team. I got a couple of questions I want to ask the guys. We'll get to that coming up. But let's start, Coach, with your initial thoughts about, I know you probably already dug deep into it, Jermaine Lole, who he's from Louisville, but also before that, he was at Arizona State prior to that in the Pac-12. Like you said, 6'3", 3'10", dealt with some injuries. He's dealt with probably 3 maybe major injuries in his career, but he was healthy last season. If he's healthy, what kind of player do you think he'll be for Texas?
Yeah, I think he's going to be a great run stopper for us. I think that's kind of what his niche is stopping the run. And you know, I don't know about that 315, you know, some 310. I may be a little closer to 310, 320. You know how these guys are. But the dude's got 12 and a half sacks. Hey, it's hard to get 12 and a half sacks in flag football, you know. I mean, that's not bad. But the great thing is he seems to be run more – he seems to be known more as a run stopper, you know, than he is a pass rush guy, but still – 141 tackles, 12 and a half sacks, 25 tackles for loss. He's going to be a great addition to our defensive line.
Yeah, I agree. And I know he's dealt with some injuries. I believe it's been, I believe Jerry said a tricep, maybe a meniscus, an elbow. So he's dealt with some injuries in his time. And that's why you have the gap. You see that gap right there. Matthew putting up his stats. You see the gap and you see the lack of games played in that gap. That's the injuries. But he's been healthy, at least lately in 2023. He was as healthy as he's been since 2019 was the last time. Even 2020, he only played 4 games. And I found an article. I went back and did some digging and found an article about Lole from Jermaine Lole from 20. This is actually from 2021, and it's in the offseason of 2021. So it's reflecting on the 2020 season where he only played 4 or 5 games and the 2019 season. So I'll just read it for you here. It said Arizona State's defense underwent a scheme tweak in 2020, which moved Lole from a versatile role that predominantly saw him on the edge to move to more of an every down 3 technique. So this is a guy that moved around. All right, just shows you some of the versatility he's got. He can move around, play multiple shades for you. He was one of this is from Pro Football Focus. He was one of the 10 highest graded Power 5 defensive linemen against the run. Your point, Coach, run stuffer, when playing defensive tackle in 2019. So he was one of the elite run defenders in 2019 when he was healthy. They said also that remained the case in 2020, even though he only played 4 games. But in 2020, in that very small sample size, he actually showed that he could be a high, kind of a high level pass rusher as well, which means you can be a guy that can play 3 downs, not just a guy that can play on early rundowns and also be a pass rusher. Lole, this is what it says. It was the 3rd highest graded Power 5 defensive lineman when playing 3 technique in the 2020 season. Even though he only played 4 to 5 games, They said he still came away with 18 pressures and 17 defensive stops in only four games. Now, what you're hoping is that number one stays healthy, knock on wood, cross fingers. And if he does, you're hoping you can rekindle some of that old magic, Coach. Some of that old magic from 2019, because that's the ceiling from it. And that ceiling is an NFL ceiling. The player that he was, I'm not saying that he's not now, but the track that he was on in 2019 and in 2020 before everything got derailed by injuries was this guy had a Sunday skill set and was going to play on Sundays. Still may play on Sundays, but he had all the metrics and all of the stats and the productivity of a guy that was going to get drafted. Middle rounds, whatever, but drafted to play on Sundays, and he still may, but I'm just saying early on, that was the track he was on. If he can rekindle some of that, I'm with you, Coach. This can be special potential for Texas.
Yeah, he kind of fits what Sark likes, and that is versatile players. I mean, you know, guys that it's just like a running back who can catch the ball out of the backfield. You know, he's a guy that's going to be more versatile. And we know defensively we've got a lot of versatility over there, but he's a guy that could be an every down lineman for you, which is a huge advantage. You know, when you've got a guy that's just a pass rusher or a guy who's just a run stopper, when you have a guy that's had success doing both, it really adds a lot to the defense. And I really think he's a three down player. He's an every down player, for our defense, at least based on what I've seen. You never know what kind of shape a guy is going to, come be in when he shows up,
That's true.
Yeah, but I do feel like we've done a great job of developing players. He's a player that does need to be developed. He's a player that just needs to refine his skills a little bit and just to be able to take it to an SEC level and then to the NFL level, which is obviously what, his goal is. He's going to go to the place where he feels like it's the best opportunity for him, that will prepare him for the NFL. And so he's a big pickup for us. One that honestly, I didn't see it coming. I don't know about you. I did not see this coming.
I will say that we were talking to Jerry last night on the live stream, Jerry, CJ and I, and I asked Jerry like, hey man, you think, Texas may pursue something else? And he said, yeah. He said he felt like they may pursue something else. So that's the only reason it didn't surprise me is because Jerry said he thought they could pursue something else. And I still remember way before even the Dominique Williams recruitment, I remember Bobby saying he thought Texas may go after three interior D linemen, additional interior D linemen in the transfer portal. I thought to myself, wow, that was before the Bill Norton thing too, right? And then they get Bill Norton, they go after Dominique Williams. Obviously, this young man here, Jermaine Lole. So in reality, they probably were recruiting hard enough to try to if they'd had their, if they'd had it their way, Texas probably would have ended up getting three of them. They probably ended up getting Dominique Williams too, and this kid. So, what does that say, Coach, about the group they had here? What does that say, Coach, that they were so urgently pursuing defensive tackles in the transfer portal and brought in three this offseason, and were potentially probably trying to bring in more? What does that say about the confidence they had in the guys here? And I'm not trying to be negative, but it's obviously pretty obvious that the coaches thought they needed more bodies there. They thought they needed reinforcements there. They wanted contingency plans just in case.
Yeah, especially inside, like that. I think to me it says our young guys are not quite ready. And we need a stopgap for one season for our young guys. And does it show desperation? I don't think it's desperation, but it does show that there is a need. And as you've talked about many times, one of the most valued positions in the NFL is defensive line. And it's one that, as we've talked about before, it's so difficult. I've seen years where we didn't hardly have a guy in the state of Texas we were recruiting defensive line wise, just because they're so rare and so hard. Mm-hmm. They're big guys that are aggressive and that have great feet and that can move. You start getting 6'3" offensive lineman. Yeah, it's a lot harder for a 6'3" offensive lineman. but a 6'3 defensive lineman who has some athletic ability, has good feet, has some good hip strength. Those are guys that can certainly make a difference, in our football team. So it's just such a hard position to recruit. And I hope people will realize that and appreciate the fact that it's 10 times easier to go recruit wide receivers than it is defensive linemen, because wide receivers are a dime a dozen. Now, the great mm-hmm. ones aren't, but there's tons of great receivers out there, really good receivers out there.
It is.
But mm-hmm. defensive linemen, man, that's a rare bird. I mean, that is really so hard to find him. So the fact that they, would bring him in says two things. One, they certainly believe that he's going to help our football team. But two, I think it says that our young guys aren't quite ready. We need one more season.
And, I love what you said about, because you're right, that I don't even know how D-tackle wasn't a premium position, before the last, I think, year and a half. You really started to see, even at the NFL level, and I think now at the college level, you're seeing a little bit of it too, right, with the Dominique Williams thing and some of these interior D linemen, at least with Texas, and how much of an urgent need it was that, if you don't have that mass and that size in the interior of your D-line, teams are going to exploit you with the running game, with the power running game. And you want guys that not only can be forced run defenders on early downs, but be a pass rushing presence on those passing downs. And if you can do that, that's when you're going to make a lot of money in the NFL. My concern, and I wonder if for Sark this was the case, and PK, that they don't believe they have a player that can be that, like Tavondre Sweat and like both Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat were, a guy that can be a force, an elite force run defender on early downs, on run downs, and then flip the switch, and that can also be a high-level pass rusher too. I think these guys have proven they can kind of be one or the other, and they're looking this year for both. They're looking for a guy that can do both. I think Alfred Collins, as a pass rusher, he's one of the best, honestly, pass rushers in the interior D-line, the numbers would say, in college football. But as a run defender, I think that's where he's got to up his game and show that he also can be an elite presence and a force multiplier there. And I think on the roster at D-tackle, that may be the case for a lot of these guys. Now, for the guys I haven't seen, Bill Norton and Tia Savea and, obviously Jermaine Lole coming in, I don't know. And you said Jermaine Lole has the ability to be that every down player, a three down player at D tackle. But if you can be, those are the guys in the NFL. That's why half the highest paid defenders in the NFL are defensive tackles. Because once you find a guy like that, you pay him. You pay him. Because of how rare they are, Coach, just like you said. And that's why Tavondre Sweat wasn't going to drop past the second round. They don't care what's going on, with him and how the evaluation is about his maturity. A guy with that kind of ability, with that size at that position, it's a premium position now. I think at the college level now, too. I do.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt it is. But, again, when you look at the standard that Sark has set, and we've talked about it a few times, let's recruit guys. Can we win a national championship with them? I don't know that they thought that they had all the pieces of the puzzle, obviously, with the defensive line, or they wouldn't be going out trying to get, other guys. Mm-hmm. But I'm really excited about this. And as you and I talk about a lot, Rod, we trust this staff. They've proven to us that they deserve that.
Yep.
They know what they're doing. They put together a great roster. They built a great culture and atmosphere. And the only reservation I might have is, with Jermaine coming in to an SEC style, it's totally different than what he saw in the Pac-12, and it's different than what he saw at Louisville. It's going to be at a whole nother level. And so I really think that he's probably looking at this as an opportunity to prove if he can dominate in the Big 12, and if he can be as disruptive as he's been, especially, back in, what was it?
It was not 2019.
Yeah, 2019. I mean, that was a banner year for him.
It was.
If he could put up those kind of numbers in the SEC, and of course, we don't know if he's going to be an every down guy, or he's going to be a guy who is going to be, rotating in and out. But that 2019 season, look at that, man. 71 tackles, 6.5 sacks. I mean, that's big time.
As a true sophomore, too. I mean, he was, like I said, he was ascending to a guy that looked like, okay, he's playing. He's going to play on Sundays. All about when and where he's going to get drafted.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's still his goal as well. Oh, my man, CJ jumping in. I knew he was going to be in his car. We should have took bets on that. CJ was going to be in his car or not.
He's like Clark Kent, man. It don't matter if it's a hotel room in Vegas or a phone booth or a car, man.
I'm learning from the best. Jerry Hamilton's the one on the road all the time. I'm trying to pick up the little tips across the way, and the car's the first stop, that's for sure.
No doubt. There you go. See, yeah, people have been waiting on CJ. All right, before we'll get back to obviously, because I want to get CJ's thoughts about the Longhorns' latest transfer portal commitment. But give me your – I know you've been on the road. You've been, obviously out there visiting with some high schools. You've been doing it all week long. What did you see today? Get the people updated on what you were up to today.
Yeah, today I just made the trip up to Waxahachie. Sorry, I got my laundry in the back seat, so don't grill me too bad right now. but stopped at Waxahachie on the way up north on 75. Of course, they're loaded right now. A lot of folks don't really realize that at the moment, but they have a lot of 26s and a lot of 27s that you'll start hearing a lot about moving forward. Right now, there are two that should be on Texas's radar early on. That's not to say that more won't grow up and kind of develop into that fold. Of course, we see this with Duncanville and DeSoto. Waxahachie's kind of following that mold up the moment as well, but the first one is a 6'3 playmaker wide receiver Texas recruiting as an athlete at the minute, Jaquan Snell, class of 27, really impressive athlete, great body control, got good hands, but it's the body, it's the frame, it's the speed that really separates at the moment. About 6'2 3/4, 6'3 right in that frame. Visited Texas earlier in April, received an offer. Texas Coach Banks and Coach Kwiatkowski were down here on Tuesday of this week as well, kind of get a first look at him. The other player Texas should be on a watch for is 2027 quarterback Jerry Meyer, who just transferred in from Nevada. He's the guy that is set Nevada state records for passing touchdowns as a freshman, 55 touchdowns as a true freshman, coach. Tell me that's not impressive. But he's down here at Waxahachie now in the District of Death, playing Skyline, DeSoto, Duncanville. Really talented prospect. I got to see him today. He can spin it. I think he's got a good arm on him, a frame that will allow him to grow a little bit more as well. So I've been on the hunt for some quarterbacks. Yesterday I was down in Bastrop, saw Weston Nielsen thrown around so we're seeing a couple.
All right, thanks CJ for the update there. CJ, he's grinding for us. We appreciate that. I want to get to one of these questions here before we get back to the conversation. I want to get CJ's thoughts about Jermaine Lole as well. Thunder Pup, says, given his history of injuries, when would Texas coaches have time to evaluate him before offering him? And I'm assuming he's talking about Jermaine Lole, who's been injured, I believe, that 2020 year, that 2021 season, and then 2023 has been the healthiest that he's been since that 2019 year. So yeah, a lot of injuries, and I believe three separate injuries. I do know from, like I said, listening to my man Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, that Johnny Nansen had a connection to Lole as well, because he recruited him out of high school when he was with UCLA and when he was with USC. He recruited him out of high school. So he knows, the family knows the young man, I'm sure, probably kept up with him. So at least we have some background there. And where would Texas be, coach, without Johnny Nansen, that Johnny Nansen connection? Now, the D tackle position would be bereft of talent, to say the least, if not for him, because all three of the D tackles you brought in have a connection to Johnny Nansen.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great, he's been a great addition so far. We don't know what he's going to be like on Saturdays, but so far he's earned his pay up to this point.
I agree with that. CJ, I just want to get your thoughts. Obviously you've been out there evaluating some of these great prospects. But give me your thoughts on Jermaine Lole and what you've seen. You've already tweeted out some pretty interesting nuggets about him and what he could bring to the table for Texas.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's a lot of depth. It's a lot of experience. It's a lot of production. And I think that's what Texas is looking for. They don't have that number one guy. They don't have a Devondre Sweat. They don't have a Byron Murphy. But they've got five guys now with a lot of playing time. And five guys now that classify as a senior or higher. And you look at what it takes to be in a good team, you know, and I think it's that play along the trenches. What helps play along the trenches? Having guys that have been there and done that before. And right now that defensive line group certainly looks like that's the approach that they're going for. Maybe not the top tier kind of talent that you'll see in the NFL draft early on, like we saw this year, but guys that you'll continue to see develop, guys that you'll see, you know, kind of make up for a lack of talent with a wealth of experience. And right now, 1,600 snaps at the defensive tackle position are joining Texas with Lole's addition. That's meaningful. Even with 2 years off, he was a very, he could produce like crazy when he was at Arizona State before he transferred over to Louisville. Just getting back to his rhythm, of course. I think he's about 6'3", 315 at the moment. So that's another body that you could swing all the way out to the edge if need so. But you got five guys now, plus adding in, you know, Aaron Bryant, Dre Bledsoe, who are redshirt sophomores as well. So that room's getting right. It's going to take a little bit of time for that room to gel on the field. But because you're adding so many bodies, at least, you know, it's almost like what's the volume principle? Like one of these guys has to stick, right? You know, you're going to have to see a you know, production out of a couple at least. And I think that's the approach they're going for at the moment.
Yeah, they're giving themselves options and potential answers to problems that could arise. I don't know if the coaches know if these guys are all going to work out or if they're going to end up being every down players. I think you're right, CG. I think the assumption is they have belief, coach, in their ability to develop talent. A lot of these guys have high upside, and if they believe, and that includes the guys that are already on campus, your Alfred Collins, your Vernon Broughtons, Dre Bledsoes, your Sadir Mitchells, that those guys will develop along with these veterans they're bringing in, these really experienced guys they're bringing in. I mean, that's a lot of college football. That's a lot. I mean, you're talking about guys who've been multiple-year starters, played 300-plus snaps last season. That's a lot of football, and I think that's what the coaches want to bring in, guys who potentially, when the fit hits the shan, that they can bring in some of that experience, help stabilize that position. And I wonder how they're going to now mix and match these pairings at D-tackle, Coach. We know they want to rotate like six guys at D-tackle, ideally. That may not be, you know, it may not happen that way, but ideally that's what they want, right? 2 years ago when they were rotating like, you know, Keandre Coburn and Moore Ojimo and Alfred and Byron Murphy and Devondre Sweat and Alfred Collins. That's ideally what they want, that kind of rotation. All guys who have NFL upside, NFL ceilings. I don't know if they have that, but and this is something, CJ, I know you're interested in too. How do you mix and match these pairs? Because you got to have certain guys that can play the nose, play the zero technique, other guys that can play the three technique. Situationally, some guys better at run stuffing, some guys better at pass rushing until you find those every down players. How do you approach that?
I mean, that's what it would have been nice. It would have been great to have Jermaine Lole here for the spring so you had an understanding of just where he fit in. Of course, Bill Norton in that same boat. But we know that Texas, because Bill Norton and Tia Savea played together at Arizona, they're probably a likely first line. Then you have Alfred Collins and Vernon Broughton, who have played together for the last 3 years. They're likely a piece together as well. Now you start wondering where Lole fits in. You start wondering where Aaron Bryant or Dre Bledsoe factor in as well. Now it's about mixing and matching. And, okay, do I have a true nose? Do I have a three tech? Do I need to split them? Kind of factor in a three-eye look as well for a number of these guys. Who can I get for my jumbo package and throw one of them out at the fives? Oh, and when we go to our NASCAR package, do we keep either of these defensive tackles on the field at all, or do we let Alfred Collins kind of man the nose and move Justice Finkley on into the interior? That's going to be something Texas has to figure out in the summer during conditioning and very quickly in fall camp. Luckily, they'll get an opening game to kind of get an understanding of where things are before Michigan, and then two more games non-conference before the SEC starts rolling around, which we all know Texas is going to need to have, you know, their you know, chickens lined out for the most part before that SEC schedule comes rolling. But right now, it's all about kind of maturation, kind of picking and choosing where these guys are, the camaraderie amongst the line. I've talked about it a little bit with the quarterbacks and Quinn Ewers, or the wide receivers and Quinn Ewers right now, just kind of getting on the same page, understanding how they play next to each other. That's going to have to be the number one thing that we wait and see really with this group.
Yeah. Hey, CJ, I had a question. Is Lole a guy that had been on campus before he committed to Oklahoma?
I believe they brought him in the same weekend that they hosted Dominic Williams.
Okay.
So what is it? About 2 weekends ago, I believe it was the 24th.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Jerry said they just had him in again, right? That they had him in again recently, like just the Oklahoma didn't know that they had him in. So was that after the Oklahoma commitment, CJ?
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. Sorry. Lole visited Oklahoma with Dominic Williams that same first weekend that Williams entered the portal. Texas snuck in a visit there recently without Oklahoma knowing after the Dominic Williams commitment. And
Gotcha. Okay. Man, that was slick. Nice. I like that. Hey, I like Sark's recruiting style, man. I like it. They don't stop around there, man. They recruit to the whistle, I believe is the term. I mean, Jerry Hamilton brings up all the time. All right, before we get back to it, guys, keep your questions coming. We'll answer as many of them as we can. Got my man CJ in now, so we'll hit some of those recruiting questions as well. Before we get going, let's give a shout-out to our fantastic sponsor, Flat Creek Estate Winery. Really appreciate them and all they've done. Flat Creek folks just won 11 awards in 30 days, including double gold Grand Reserve and Texas Grand Reserve at the Houston Rodeo. Flat Creek Estate Winery is raking in awards, and it's just a few minutes from the heart of Austin, Texas. Select bottles of the wines by Flat Creek Estate are now available at your local Specs, so now you can get a taste of what they're all about. Flat Creek Estate is also a gorgeous venue hosting events for the whole family all spring long. Check out their website for wine tasting, chef dinners, even make a reservation. You still got some time. Mother's Day coming up this weekend. It'd be a great place to celebrate Mother's Day, and trust me, all the mothers in your life will love it. Eat, drink, and be awesome at Flat Creek Estate. For more info, please visit flatcreekestate.com. That's flatcreekestate.com to check out the great wines they have over there at Flat Creek, and to check out the venue, and you can check out how many reservations they have left for Mother's Day, or make future reservations at flatcreekestate.com. I've been out there. It is a gorgeous venue. I can tell you that firsthand. So thank you to Flat Creek Estate for sponsoring the winning drive. All right, getting back to the questions here. I got one from Daniel. I'll share this with the group. Hey, Rod, who are we thinking is going to lead the team in picks this year? Oh, that is a good question. Who leads the team in interceptions? I mean, Manny Muhammad seems like the easy answer. He's the ball hawk. I think he'll be tested this year. Why wouldn't he be tested? We know that he's great, but other teams don't necessarily know that. And I think he hasn't developed a reputation like that nationally yet. So I think if he gets tested, he'll make teams pay, play sticky coverage. He's got really sound fundamentals as a corner, and he's a ball hawk. He always tries to make plays on the ball. He's one of those guys that thinks ball first. And I think ultimately, because he's a student of the game, he'll be around the ball a lot. So that's the one that jumps to mind first. Anybody else you guys think who you could lead the team in interceptions, Coach? Who's your thoughts?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I got to go with Manny. I mean, I want him to prove what he can do. You know, we had that conversation. I kind of got booed and hissed a little bit, but but I think he certainly has the potential to do that. And he is, when you look at our defensive backfield and you look at who's the playmaker, it's Manny. I mean, it's Manny. And so that's where I would put my money.
I will say Jadae is a havoc player. He makes a lot of plays around the ball. Exactly. I love Jadae. I just wonder how many, I think this is why Jadae probably wants to play. He probably wants to play corner more so than nickel. At nickel, I wonder if he finds it tougher sometimes to be able to make plays on the football as much, because he is involved so much in rush defense. At times he's blitzing, you know, there are times, you know, he's just, it's a different position than just covering all the time, which is do at corner. So you got more opportunities that, hey, it's most of your situation you end up in are pass first in coverage. And as a coverage defender, you can make a lot of plays on the football. As a nickel, and I played nickel, there's a lot you're doing. You got your run defender, the coach got you blitzing, you got you setting the edge. You're doing a lot. Sometimes, you know, dropping back in zone. There's a lot of things you're doing at that nickel position, as opposed to most of the time at corner, even when it's zone, it deteriorates into a man. You know, a man coverage is you on that guy. So I think it's just at the nickel position, I wonder if he'll have the opportunity to make a lot of those plays on the football. Things happen so quick at the nickel. He's great. He's a football investigator. Things happen quicker at the nickel position than they do out at the corner. Corner, you got a little time to process, a little bit. the further you're away from the football, you got a little extra half a second, split second to process things. At that nickel, man, it's all instincts. All instincts and muscle memory because you got no time to think.
And that's why I think Jade in that nickel spot is so special. You know, he's so talented in that group because of his instincts. And we talk about how smart he is at diagnosing and, you know, reacting, you know, in that spot. That's why I think it's difficult to just pick him up and move him out back or to either safety or cornerback, because then you're losing something that has made your defense so special over the last 2 years. Yes, Jalen Gilbo has been very good when he's healthy, but that's the thing. We haven't seen him healthy in quite a while, and he had a great back half of the spring. I think he's going to get a lot of run this year in that nickel spot, but at the same time, he was your number two you know, leading snap getter in 2023 for a reason. He was right behind Jalen Ford as a guy who didn't come off the field very often because of how instinctual he was, because of how much he impacted the game from that nickel spot. I think it's tough to just pick him up and throw him somewhere else because now you're looking at a spot that is very important for that Texas defense and maybe not seeing that same production without him in that spot.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, actually. I do think you need a special kind of player at nickel. I don't think every good DB can just play the nickel position. I think you need a special kind of player there. And Jade Barron, because of his instincts and because he really does a great job of diagnosing clues pre-snap. His pre-snap diagnosis is awesome. He says he wants to be a defensive coordinator coach. So you know he's diving into the film. You know he wants to know about the scheme. He wants to know what everybody else's responsibilities are because his ultimate dream after he's done playing football, whenever that is to become a defensive coordinator. So he's a student of the game. And like I said, I think at nickel, it's a tough position to play because everything happens so fast. Maybe Jalen Gilbo, he looks like he played it. He's very capable and played it really well during the spring, but that's very different than the actual game. So I think they're going to – Coach Sark says they're going to play a lot of guys early on. And I think they're going to play these guys so they can find out if they can trust these guys. Jalen Gilbo, if what they saw in the spring for Jalen Gilbo, if it actually translates to the field, real live game reps, and if it does – then I think they potentially could change their rotations and they could start moving guys around. But you're right, CJ. You can't afford to move Jade Barron around if you ain't got somebody capable and competent to stabilize that nickel position. Because that is, like I said, that's kind of the central nervous system, the guts of your defense pretty much.
I'll say this. If you got a cornerback that's leading the team in interceptions, he's a stud. Just think about it. Two things. One is he's only on, you know, maybe a quarter of the field, you know. I mean, obviously if he's in man, he's going to be running across the field. But you got to look at that as compared to a safety, a guy who's a center fielder covering more ground. But you also have to look at if you're getting some picks, they ain't going to throw at you. I mean, they're not going to throw at you.
They'll stop.
But if you're safety or nickel, they don't know for sure where you're going to be. They're going to have to throw it in your area. You just got more room out there to work and break on the ball and make plays than you do in a corner. You know how that is, Rod. Sometimes you turn around, the ball's there. I mean, it's bam, bam. You got to – and the safety back there, they're seeing that wounded duck thrown up in the air, you know, and they can, you know, they can break on that ball now. He's in a corner that's just turning around on an out. Bam. I mean, he makes – if you got a corner leading the team in interceptions – he's a stud.
No, I don't disagree with that. I'll say, because I talked to Quandre about this a couple of months ago, and we were talking, because he's a guy that's played every position in the secondary at the NFL level. So he probably has a better opinion about it, a more informed opinion about it than most. And he said his favorite position to play was nickel because he said he likes the action. He's an action junkie. And he said he'd get bored at safety, Coach. He got bored at safety sometimes. It always come in to kind of fill in the run game. He said you literally are a safety. You're a safety valve. So they want you coming in just to make sure nothing gets past you, just to make sure you're the last line of defense. And he said he was bored to death playing safety in the league. But this is the crazy point. He got all of his accolades playing safety. He got all his interceptions. He made all of his plays playing the safety position, just like you said, Coach, because he had a chance to diagnose everything. And the further you're away from the football, things happen slower for somebody with high football IQ like Quandre and great instincts like Quandre. Safety was almost easy for him. He was like, oh, man, this is easy. He had diagnosed the play, and his speed wasn't – it's not a liability at safety like it may be at corner or even sometimes at nickel. But and it's where he made all of his plays. But nickel, if you go look at it, he said he had more fun at nickel. That's what he wanted to play because it was always action. He said he never had time to think. He said at safety, he had time to think. He said he would just be thinking about stuff back there that he shouldn't be thinking about during the game because he was bored. He was like, he was basically getting action one out of four or five plays because most of the time he was a center fielder and he had to drop back in his own coverage. And, you know, he's covering ghosts a lot of the times in coverage. So that's it was interesting to say about Quandre is that he said he loved the nickel because it was action. He was an action junkie, hated the safety, but safety was where he made most of his plays. And I think that's why I think Jhede actually would be good at safety. Because he's a football investigator. He's just deciphering clues and pre-snap, and then those clues lead him to a, you know, to basically being able to narrow down the amount of plays a team is trying to expose him with. And that's why he makes so many great plays, especially on wide receiver screens. And he's and actually they use those keys against him late in the season with double moves and the out and up and things of that nature, the screen and go. But I think you put him at safety like a Quandre, he'll have more clues. And you give a football investigator more clues, they're going to solve the crime. And you don't get those clues at nickel. You just going. You just great instincts taking over, man. You just in there my man Quandre said, I'm just an action junkie because everything's happening so fast. You're close to the football. You back him up, and he'll be just like Quandre. He'll be bored to death, but he'll make more plays.
You know how
Rod turned into McGruff, the crime dog.
CJ's too young to get that reference. CJ, do you even know who McGruff is, the crime dog?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. My bad.
Now, we're not talking about Scooby Doo, CJ. We're talking about Scooby.
Oh, I used to see the signs in the front yard all the time. I don't know.
McGruff. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, he did a lot of commercials, public service announcements.
Oh, man. That's great. I love that.
How quickly you have to diagnose things. Yes, I know this guy.
There we go.
Yeah.
Get tough on crime. Like my
love it. Love it. That's all right, great. Go ahead.
Right. I was going to say, you know how instinctual you have to be to get bored in an NFL game? For that to just be diagnosed so quickly for you in front of you to say, it's not coming to me anyways. Like, that's crazy to even think that you could get bored playing football. Brooks Koepka went viral a few years ago because he said he got bored playing. He'd get bored playing golf. I'm like, yeah, you know, during hole 14, 15, you've been out in the sun all day, probably on hour number three. Yeah, I understand. It gets pretty boring. Playing football, I don't know how you could ever get bored playing that. That's not a sport. But I think that just goes how quickly things, you know, develop. He understands the game and processes it in front of him. So that speaks to, I think, for your point about Jhede, he's similar in that same mold.
Yeah. But I think he got bored because he said he would diagnose plays, but he couldn't go and attack it. He couldn't go and say he knew they were going to run a double slant or they were going to run a dagger route. He couldn't just go leave his responsibility, abandon his post, and then decide, hey, I'm gonna go break down and undercut this post route or this six route. No, as a safety, you can tell your guys, hey, watch the six route. Hey, guys, they're going to run the double slant. You can say that, but that's all you can say as a safety if you know it's coming based on your film study. And then you still got to take care of the post, like coach tell you. So I think that's kind of why he was bored sometimes. He was like, hey, man, I'm diagnosing these routes, but I can't do anything about it back here. At least at nickel and corner, you can cheat. You can straight up cheat at corner. Malik Muhammad does it. You can cheat. You can like, you know what? I know what my help is. I'm going to cheat on this play. My help is inside. So anything outside, I'm jumping it. Any outside cut, I'm jumping it. I got inside help, so I can be late on the inside cut. That's all. So you learn how to, you know, where your help is and you can jump things. But you can't do that at safety. You can't go jump. You're at your safety. You can't go jump stuff. You can't go cheat. And I think that's why he was a little bit bored.
You're saving the day.
Exactly. He didn't like being Captain Save a Play. all right. Okay. Let's get to some of these questions, guys. And I want to ask you guys about the betting lines. Some of the betting lines are already out for the upcoming 2024 season for Texas. I think I have 5 games, I believe, they have listed. So I want to get you guys' thoughts about that. And actually, one of these questions will lead us to that. But first, let's get this one from James Henson first. Losing Ojemo, Coburn, T-Sweat, and Murphy in 2 years, and then losing 4 to 5 D tackles next year is problematic at best. Your thoughts? CJ, you brought this up already, I believe. I want to say I heard you talk about this already on one of the previous live streams. Now this is going to be a problem for Texas. What are your thoughts? You dive into it first. I think I've heard you bring this up.
Yeah, it makes sense. Texas is still active in the transfer portal, defensive tackle market. Obviously, they landed Lole. That was a big one. On Texas Football was actually aware of that about 2 or 3 days ago prior to when today's news broke. But that's not to say that they're done in that portal, of course. I do think that Johnny Bowens is an option. He's a younger guy, redshirt freshman this past year at Oregon, was originally out of Converse Judson, so not too far from Austin itself, only about a 45 to an hour drive, depending on traffic on 35, which isn't great. But to the point, Texas is looking for younger bodies in that room, because to that point, when you're talking about who leaves in 2024, well, it's going to be Bill Norton, a possible T.S. Avea. Lole will depart. Alfred Collins gone. Vernon Broughton likely gone. Now what? That's a lot of bodies leaving. And now you also run the risk of not having a lot of play time for the younger cats as well. So to continue that, you know, that room having depth, going out and potentially adding a Johnny Bowens, who told me 2 nights ago that he hopes to get down to Austin for a visit. It will continue to have bodies in that room at a younger rate that can develop behind the scenes for the win. It's time for them to get on the field and become instant impact guys. They're ready for that. Right now, Texas, in 2025, that room is very light again, and it's looking like they'll have to attack the portal at some point again without even adding 3 or potentially 4 guys from the 2025 class to the defensive tackle spot. So it's not looking great down the road, but this year they at least addressed it enough, and they're trying to continue addressing it for future years, obviously, with Johnny Bowens.
It goes back to something Coach talked about, that position being so rare. And then when you do get some of the guys in, Coach, you still got to develop those big bodies. You know, you got to put them in the strength and conditioning program. It may take you some time. I think you may need 2 different strategies. You need a long-term strategy at D-tackle and a short-term strategy at D-tackle every year.
Yeah, well, the long-term strategy is obviously in recruiting. The short-term strategy is when you go, oh, you know, we lost these guys. We got to have somebody now. I think that I don't want it to be this way, but I feel like it's going to be a same old story every year. I mean, it's just so hard to find good high school defensive linemen, and there's just not enough to go around. And when there's not enough to go around, you've got to do the best you can and then wait and see how other players that maybe you missed on recruiting have develop and become playmakers in college and hit the portal. And then now you've got another batch of guys you can go choose from. I think everybody would just love for us to be able to sign defensive tackles out of high school every year and just groom them and keep them coming and develop them. But it's just they're few and far between. So unfortunately, this strategy is what I see in the future, because you need to always try to get 1 or 2 good, you know, big time 5-star guys every year. But you've got to keep adding playing now talent. Guys that can come in and help you now. And I think it's going to be an annual thing. And that's not just Texas. Trust me, this is not just a Texas problem. It's a problem with every Power 5 school in the country. I mean, if it's not this year, it will be next year.
No, Coach is certainly right. Actually, and I don't know if you guys heard it, but Brian Kelly at LSU was being asked about his D tackles and recruiting D tackles in the transfer portal. And he admitted, like, it's not going well. He's like, it's not going well. and he basically, and this is, I don't know if you guys have heard the outcry from LSU fans about Brian Kelly's comments about, we're not going to buy players. We're not going to buy players. I could send Matthew the comments and we can pull it up, but the LSU fans are now wondering whether he's fully committed in the NIL landscape to be, you know, making sure that you are embracing the new culture of NIL. All right. Don't be one of those coaches that's actually kind of, you know, rejecting the new law of the land. And it was in response to D tackles. And here's what I want to bring up. I think, you know, remember when Ryan Day reportedly told his constituents, his boosters and his donors, I need about $13 million to keep this roster elite. It cost me $1 million, $2 million to get a quarterback. Cost me about $1 million to get an elite D tackle or elite edge rusher. All right. He said the quiet part out loud, reportedly. And then Matt Rhule doubled down on it. Matt Rhule, remember, he said a good quarterback in the portal costs $1.5 to $2 million. He said, let's all make sure we understand what's happening. There are some teams that have $6 to $7 million players playing for them. That was a Matt Rhule quote. And recently, I believe it was Hugh Freeze, if I'm not mistaken. Hugh Freeze recently. Oh, yeah, there it is. Oh, can we play this? You got that? Let me know, Matthew, if you got it ready to play, because it's got LSU fans a little upset. Can we play this then? Go ahead. Play it. Let's do it. Let's hear it.
Interior D-line, where are you right now with that?
Well, I think I made it pretty clear in a number of the press conferences that I had that we were in the market in recruiting in the transfer portal looking for defensive linemen. It hasn't fared very well, quite frankly, because, you know, we're selling something a little bit differently. And that is we want to recruit. We want to engage, build relationships. We want to develop, retain, and have you and have success. We're not in the market of buying players. And unfortunately, right now, you know, that's what some guys are looking for. They want to be bought. And look, I understand NIL is part of this. And we have an incredible collective. We have very, very generous opportunities around the greater Baton Rouge area for NIL opportunities. So they are here. But we're not going to go out and buy players. That's not what this is about. This was never about that. We will develop you. We will get you ready for the next step, as we did with Jaden Daniels, as we did with Malik Nabers, as we did with Brian Thomas. We developed three defensive linemen that all got drafted this year, and we'll do that again. But if you're just looking to get paid, you're looking in the wrong place. If you'd like all the things that we do here in developing our players, bringing you into a championship program, playing in front of the best fan base in America, playing for championships, and having an opportunity for NIL, you should be a Tiger. But if you just want to get, you know, paid, this is not the place for you.
Okay, so LSU fans kind of freaking out. They're like, oh, no, don't become one of those. Don't become like Mike Gundy or, you know, Dabo Sweeney these days. We're rejecting the modern culture, the progressive culture of college football now. But this is what I wanted, because some people think that might have been related to a certain D-tackle transfer portal commitment at another university where LSU was in the running there and may have been rumored to be asking for a whole lot of money. But this is my point. We know now, based on, and Hugh Freeze, here's the quote that he had today, earlier this week, when he was asked about spending millions of dollars in the transfer portal on the quarterback. He said, I just couldn't bring myself to be doing that. Go spend $1 million on this guy because I want to put all the pieces together. The options that you are presented with, develop Payton, develop Holden, develop Hank, develop Walker, or go spend $1 million on this guy. I just couldn't bring myself to do that. So he's even doubling down saying, yeah, the elite quarterbacks don't cost me about $1 million, right? So these are the price tags. I wonder if the price tag, as you pointed out, Coach, for D tackle, like in the NFL, when it's become a premium position now in the NFL, right? Half of the highest paid defenders in the NFL are D tackles, the top 15. I wonder the college level now, if these prices have already been set, or at least these values have already been set, $1 million for a top level quarterback, $1 million for a top level tackle, $1 million for a top level edge rusher, whatever they are. If now the D tackles are saying, yeah, man, you need to increase my value. We're resetting the market now. I know you said it was only $150,000 for D tackles, but now I'm going to need a little bit more. And I wonder if now you're just seeing the market get reset on D tackles. Just because it's such a rare position, and rarity determines value. And I wonder, Coach, if that's what we're kind of witnessing here too a little bit, because you're right about the D-tackle. It's going to happen to every university. And if you're a D-tackle at the Power 5 level and you're pretty good, why wouldn't you do what the quarterback's doing and go, I want to hit the free market, see what I'm worth. If I can go back to school if I want to, but I want to see what I'm worth on the open market. Might be a problem.
That's unfortunately, that's the way it is. I mean, and you can't say, well, that ain't the way it should be, because I'm old school. I'm an old school guy. Where's your loyalty? Where's your commitment? But man, you got to realize these kids, a lot of them come from nothing, and they have this one opportunity to get their mom what she deserves, or they have this one opportunity. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them as much as an old standard guy I am. I think you've got to, you know, I just think you've got to take care of yourself and take care of your family. I'm sorry. I know that probably makes a lot of people mad, but that's the reality of it. And a lot of these people that are saying it makes them mad are sitting in a $500,000-$700,000 house driving, you know, Denalis and everything else, you know. They won't talk about loyalty. They haven't wanted for anything in their life, you know. Sorry, right. I'm off my soapbox.
No, that's good, that's though. Good point.
I mean, it's also the nature of college football these days, you know. If you're not going to do it, someone else will. You might as well take advantage of the rules while they're in place the way that they are to benefit yourself, you know. And now down the road, if you go out and you develop all these guys that you mentioned, it shouldn't be that hard to attract these guys who want the big money. Alabama, for the longest time, got a little bit of a discount in the NIL world because, hey, you're coming to play for Nick Saban. You know, look at who he's put into the league. Look at how many guys get drafted. No, look how much they win. You're not going to get as much as you would elsewhere, but you're playing for Nick Saban. You're playing for Alabama. You're likely more times than not to go play in the NFL where the money actually makes difference. That's the trade-off in that world. And of course, some coaches, adopt it. You know, they change with the time. Some are a little bit reluctant. We just saw Clemson take zero players out of the portal. Dabble's zero. Yeah, we're not going to deal with this NIL deal at all. The portal, we're not even going to look at it. I don't know if that's going to be the right move or not. I would more times than not argue no, but to his point, you know, he's going to rock with who he's got. He's going to trust his, evaluations out of high school, and he's going to develop the guys that bought into his program and give everything that he's got to those group of guys. We'll see what they do in terms of a national competition, that landscape. But, it's an interesting approach that you see a number of coaches take different sides on.
Yeah, and I was wondering, you know, sometimes we've seen these coaches actually have these kind of hidden messages where they're speaking to their boosters and donors. Even Nick Saban did that at one point, right? Kind of lashing out that, hey, man, if I'm going to compete in this new space, I'm going to need basically Alabama boosters and donors to contribute more to this arms race that we're dealing with now. And, you know, Texas is in the catbird seat in this situation. Texas, for a long time, they've had the advantage of having not unlimited resources, but Texas resources are, in my opinion, they probably have as many, if not more, high-level boosters and donors as any program in the country that's not an Ivy League institution or something like that. And now you can truly weaponize those boosters and donors through the NIL space. And that is also be one of the reasons, in addition to what Sark has done, that Texas should separate now that NIL is truly the law of the land. All right, getting back to some of the questions here. First of all, James wants to know, where do you get the Shipley's merch? I want to be bought, says Cotton. All I request is a Shipley hat. See?
You can buy them at Airy Mount in Burnett, Texas. That's the only place I know that's selling them right now.
You get a hat when you buy a ranch. That's about it. Buy one, get one.
Yeah, that's right. You buy a ranch, we'll give you a hat.
Man, I'm gonna need some serious NIL dollars to buy that.
Thousands of people have hit me up for a hat, man. I'd love to give everyone. If it was up to me, I'd give every one of you a hat. But
see,
it costs a little bit to make them, and it costs a little bit to ship them out too.
But hey, coach, you the one told me to wear it. If you didn't tell me to wear it, nobody would be asking for it.
I'm good with it. I wish I could give everybody out there one. I really do.
Hey, they sharp, man. I'm trying to make sure I preserve mine. Coach want me to wear it. It look clean. I'm trying to make sure it stays in good
shape. When you got a bucket head like me, caps don't look good. It just looks like a big old gorilla riding a little bit tricycle in a circus. You know, it just doesn't look right. Something ain't right about that.
Archmage, Rod, you need an endorsement contract.
Hey, watch out, Arch. Don't be giving him any ideas.
Hey, bro. You know what I'm saying? Hey, that's right. I like that, though. How about my NIL, Coach? Boom.
Coach got that orange on for Clemson, I see.
Oh, man. All right. Before we get going here, and I know we'll try to get to a lot of these questions before we wrap things up, and I also – want to get you guys' thoughts on the lines, the betting lines real quick. I know CJ's about to pop out. So real quick, before we get out of here, let me just remind everybody, one of our fantastic sponsors, the CarrotConcierge.com. Ladies and gentlemen, both, Mother's Day is coming up. Yeah, so ladies, you got to get something for your mom too. But fellas, you know Mother's Day is coming up. Don't be in a position where you forgot about it or you waited to last minute. No, you don't want to do that. The CarrotConcierge.com, they can come to the rescue for you. With Mother's Day coming up, you may be like me. A lot of you got there procrastinate to the last minute. You ain't got to worry about that with the CarrotConcierge.com. Jody Reynolds is a personal jeweler, and she is the Carrot Concierge. You can see some of her beautiful creations on the screen, and you can use the QR code on the screen to see even more or visit her on Instagram or her website, thecarrotconcierge.com as well. Jody's an Austin resident, a Texas fan, and her family listens to On Texas Football, so they're part of our family. Jody prides herself in providing personal service. She takes the extra steps to make sure your lady gets exactly what she wants. And because she doesn't have the overhead of a storefront, she often gets higher quality inventory at the lowest prices, as much as 30% less than what you see at a traditional jewelry store. Jody has a number of different tennis bracelets, rings, necklaces, and more, all beautiful jewelry, all personalized for you and yours. So check out the CarrotConcierge.com, visit her website, or give her a call or a text, and take care of that special someone in your life, the CarrotConcierge.com. So thank you very much to Jody Reynolds. All right, real quick, before you get out of here, CJ, let me give you these betting lines for DraftKings. All right, so they got, and tell me if you agree or disagree with these betting lines. Texas at Michigan. They have Texas, man, favored by 3 on the road at Michigan. We like that? We agree with this, guys? Okay.
We're hammering it.
You're going to, oh, really? Okay, all right. Yeah. Oh, man, CJ giving you betting advice now. I like that.
I'm not a betting. No. But I think Texas wins big there. I think Michigan right now loses a lot. They have a great 3 pieces on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Kenneth Grant, Mason Graham, Will Johnson. Those are 3 of the best that you'll see in the entire country, regardless of position. That quarterback situation scares me. They have to replace their top 6 offensive linemen. Their leading receiver is gone. Number 3 wide receiver is gone. And really that only piece on that offense right now that puts any fear in you is the tight end. So I think Texas blows them out early on. Things could obviously change. May 9th, as of right now, I think Texas wins that game pretty handily.
Ooh, Coach, you as confident as CJ is?
No, I don't know about a blowout. But I'll be very disappointed if we don't win. People are about to find out the standard and the culture that Harbaugh had there. It's really hard to duplicate. Yeah. I think he has the unique ability to, that dude is a competitor now.
Yeah.
I mean, stealing signs. Don't tell me he didn't know about that. First of all, but second of all, he is a guy who obviously will turn over every stone and use everything he can possibly. And it's just really, that is exhausting. I sound like Tom Herman, but it's exhausting, to have that kind of attitude every single day. And it's just really hard to duplicate. And I don't see Michigan being what they've been, if for no other reason than the coaching change, but certainly they've lost a lot of talent.
Yeah, somebody else who's lost a lot of talent is Oklahoma. Lost both coordinators, lost their entire starting offensive line, and Texas favored by 8.5 over Oklahoma. CJ, hammer it. What do you think?
That one gives me a little bit of hesitation, and it's not because I think Oklahoma is going to come out and surprise a lot of folks. It's just that game. You never know. You know, we saw Oklahoma beat a better Texas last year. We've seen Texas in the past beat better Oklahoma teams. Anytime that spread is over a touchdown, it feels to me like you take whatever the underdog is, simply because you just don't know what happens. These two teams, they don't like each other. The environment's tremendous. Momentum is a big part of this game. I think it's a little closer than 8.5.
Yep. All right, Coach, what are your thoughts? 8.5, Oklahoma, that number?
Man, I just – CJ is exactly right. That game is – if you're Oklahoma, you know, it – of course, it matters what you do in the SEC, but if you beat Texas, then you top whatever Texas did in the SEC. You know what I'm saying? You know, Texas could lose to Oklahoma but beat Alabama – and beat Georgia, or, well, of course, we don't play Alabama this year, but OU can lose some games they shouldn't lose. But if they beat Texas, and Texas beat some of those teams, they just piggyback that. And I really feel like they put all their eggs in that basket. And I certainly think everything they have, that it's a must-win game for OU. Must-win, period. They'll pull out all the stops. They'll do everything. And, I mean, you know, Rod, you've been in those games. You can't guess what's going to happen. Just cannot guess it. And I don't care how big a lead you have. We proved that you can't have a big enough lead, you know, in that game. So I'm going to call it a toss up. I want us to win, but I've just seen so many crazy things happen. Yeah. I think we win, but I don't know that it's, you know, it seems like either win or it's a blowout, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yep,
crazy.
14 point victories don't exist in that series, you know, to your point. So but to your point, I mean, also, you know, it's a big game for Oklahoma. Texas is gonna be looking pretty hungry to come back and redeem themselves from a year ago. And also, Quinn's played well in those big games. That's why I feel confident about Michigan going on the road. We just saw it against Alabama. Obviously, I thought he had a really good showing in the Cotton Bowl after his first two interceptions, but came up a little short. That will be something that you hear a lot about this offseason with Texas as they look to get back or return the golden hat to Austin.
Texas, a 1.5-point underdog versus Georgia. As we know, that is at home. Anybody feeling like the upset here, CJ? You feeling good about the upset potentially over Georgia this season?
No, I think that's probably a fair line. I mean, Georgia is the gold standard in college football. Two of the last three national championships, they have a returning quarterback, the same as Texas. They've out-recruited Texas. I know Texas recruited well, but they are the gold standard in college football right now. Getting Georgia at home, we'll see. Texas was a 20-point underdog to Alabama 2 years ago and ended up losing by one. So a little bit more respect now, a little bit more talented team. I'm sure that game will be very close.
Yep. Texas, how about this one, Coach? 16.5-point favorite at Arkansas, old school rival. You feel good about that one?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, it's a little bit like, I mean, at Arkansas, man, I don't understand where it comes from, but it doesn't matter if we hadn't played them in 10 years. They hate Texas with every ounce of energy they have. They hate Texas. And that place will be rocking. But I want to go back with the Georgia game. DKR will be rocking. I mean, it will be. And it's a game I think we pull out all the stops, you know, to win the game. But here's the bottom line. If you're going to be at the level that we want to be at, you have to do everything you can. Every week is, you know, not every week, but you got, you know, Oklahoma and Georgia, you know, you got to be able to not let momentum of a couple of trick plays or the fans going nuts. You can't let that momentum stuff. You've got to play at your level, and you have to set the pace, and you have to set the level. You have to play at your level every game and not let all the external stuff, like trick plays aren't external plays, but you know, you can steal a few points doing that, but with the crowd in the game and all that stuff, I've just, you know, I'm more worried about, you know, probably I'm more worried about I'm worried about Georgia for sure, but I just know our fans are going to come up, and I just know that everybody in the country is going to be watching that game, and that's a game that's certainly circled on my calendar.
Yeah, everybody else is too. Last line here, Texas is a 4-point favorite at A&M. Getting back to what you guys brought about the rivals there, CJ, they're going to be pulling all the stops too. That one's circled, no doubt, by both sides. First time they're going to rekindle the rivalry in a long time. Texas is better than A&M, but rivalries are crazy. Anything can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially talk about raucous environments, coach. Kyle Field's going to be buzzing for that one. Who knows how much of an impact that will make on the game itself and the score, but it's not going to be a cakewalk for Texas, regardless of how down A&M is in comparison. I think that game's going to be really close. One score game, we'll see. 4.5 feels pretty fair at the moment.
Yeah. I tell you what, I've been around the Texas program for 15 years as a staff member or a parent, and I just don't feel like there's anybody. You may feel different, Rod, but I don't know that there's anybody. I don't feel like there's any team out there that we just hate. We don't like A&M. More than anything, they just annoy us, you know. Ooh. But A&M and Arkansas, man. I mean, and OU too.
OU, yep.
I mean, when you look at everybody in the country doing this all the time, I mean, I just don't feel that from our side towards other teams. I never felt that from the players, from the coaches, from the Letterman, from that, you know, is A&M bigger than OU game? No, no. But man, I promise you, they hate us with every ounce of passion that they have. And so that's going to be a tough game. That's going to be a tough game. But it is one that I think if you could take that crowd out of the game, and you can, as a player, not let that crowd get into your head, then, you know, it's a game on paper we should win. But, again, it's a crazy, crazy environment. And with the new staff there, they're still going to be kind of feeling their way through things.
Yeah, no doubt. I can't wait for that game, actually. It's going to be awesome. All right, but we're going to get to answer some of the questions. I know, CJ, you got a roll, so thank you, CJ. We appreciate you, brother, as always. Be safe out there.
Yeah, you guys have a good one. Thank you, and hook them. Tune in on Texas football as well. We'll have some updates from our time on the road today.
All right, thank you, CJ. That is CJ Vogel. He always does a great job. CJ, you can follow him via Twitter at CJ_OTF, I believe, is where he is in the Twitterverse. All right, before we answer some of the questions, get ready to wrap this thing up. We want to thank our fantastic new sponsor, South Point Dodge. Really happy they are on board. Ecstatic, actually, they're on board. And you should be ecstatic about it as well, Longhorn fans. Fans can score an easy extra point this season when you get to the point at South Point Dodge. South Point Dodge has over 600 vehicles in stock, and their award-winning sales staff, they don't play games. They're not about gimmicks, folks. They're all about getting right to the point. And the point is, they want to get you the best deal possible. So score big today at South Point Dodge. You can go see them off I-35 in South Austin or at SouthPointDodge.com. Get to the point at South Point Dodge. Thank you very much for your support of the winning drive. We appreciate it. All right, before we get out of here, we'll try to answer as many of these questions as we can. Gary, I believe Gary's question was already answered by CJ about Jay Bowens. And as CJ did say that he thought it was a really good plan potentially to bring him in as a long-term developmental piece. Let's get to my man CB. He has a question here. Chris Bennett, Rod, thoughts on Phil Simi? He's wearing that number 21. He's got to represent. I am still, I believe, technically the greatest number 21 to play football at the University of Texas. I am hoping that by the time Xavier Phil Simi is done, that he will be the greatest number 21 in Texas history. But the chances are I'm going to continue to be that, not because I was that good of a player, just because kids don't think number 21 is cool anymore. They used to think it was a cool number. Now everybody wants single digits, and even the teens are considered, I think, cooler than the 21. So the 21 just don't have the same allure that it used to. So I think that's why I'll continue to be that. I can still brag about that, because I think when Phil Simi becomes an even better player than he is now and establishes himself, he's going to get another number. I guarantee he'll switch numbers. They all switch numbers, coach. They don't have any pride in numbers anymore. They don't care.
Yeah, no, they don't. They don't, yeah. But I got a shout out to my man, Grady Cabinets. He's in the top three.
Yeah, no, Grady Cavendish. Trust me, he's in the conversation. He's in there. But I'm just saying, I'm gonna have to say I'm the greatest.
No, I'm with you, Rod. You know?
I'm at Blake Gideon.
One I've seen.
Love me some Blake Gideon, man. Blake Gideon, that's my dog. Love me some Blake Gideon. Damn good player too.
Yes.
I'm hoping that I don't get to brag about that for too much longer. That's what I'm saying. I need these young Bucks to step up. I thought, because I want to say at one point, Troy O'Meara was 21. Everybody was really excited about him. Did Jay Witt? I thought Jay Witt at one point. Was Jay Witt 21?
He changed numbers so many times, I can't remember.
Exactly. CB will let me know. But those guys changed. There have been a couple of guys that have had 2-1. I thought to myself, oh, man, this young Buck has a chance. And then they change numbers and they don't care. All right. Thank you, CB. We appreciate that. Morgan wants to know, what are your thoughts on the production of running backs next season? I think B&B can be a dynamic duo. I'm assuming you're talking about Blue and Baxter. Coach, what are your thoughts on the production of the running backs next season?
I'm excited about these two guys. I really am. I think it's going to be interesting to see how they use them, how they rotate them, who's going to be the go-to guy. But I think our production – you know, if they can both stay well, I feel really good about it. I don't know how huge our running game is going to be with all the threats at receiver that we have. Yeah. But as we all know, whether you're running the ball, set up the pass, or passing it, set up the run, you got to be able to run the ball. You have to be able to run the ball. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited about these guys. I really am. The B&B train.
You know, your nickname, Coach, the B&B train.
Yeah, not maybe as flashy, you know, not maybe not the notoriety that we've had in the past, but I still think they'll carry on a great thing we have going. We're kind of on a roll right now back there.
Yeah,
we're on a roll.
No, you're right. It's one of the best. I mean, it might be. You could argue the best position room, one of the best position rooms in the country. Like mm-hmm. it's been productive now for 3-4 years. You've seen that room produce NFL caliber players year after year and really great coaches. A coach that ended up becoming a head coach and not too short choice, who I think is actually probably on the track to be a head coach as well, because he's getting a lot of love in NFL circles as well as the college game as well. Okay, I want to get to this question here from Thunderpup. Probably should have addressed it when we were talking about the lines, the betting lines, because we were talking about that Michigan game a little bit. Thunderpump wants to know, who is better, Texas O-line or Michigan D-line? Oh, those D-tackles that they have there in Michigan are – I mean, they got the best D-tackle room right now in the country, best D-tackle core in the country. What Texas had last year, they have this year.
What's the best way what's the best way for Sark to attack that defensive line? In my opinion, all gas, baby. No brakes. All gas.
Speed?
Gas those guys out.
Mm.
I mean, sideline to sideline. I mean, that's one thing that really gives our offense an advantage when we're going full speed. That's the first thing I do is try to tire them guys out. You know, it's like, who was it that said that fatigue makes cowards of us all? Mm. I mean,
yeah,
that's the best thing I know to do on those guys. Don't give them much time to catch your breath. Have them doing this.
Now, you're right. You know who did that to us? Oklahoma last
week.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
Oklahoma, that's exactly what they did. Up tempo, and they wore them D tackles out, not only with the lateral game, but they also did it with the quarterback run game.
Yes.
Those big guys chasing the quarterback all around.
Yeah.
And all Texas D tackles. I know Longhorn fans don't want to admit it. That was a damn good game plan by Oklahoma.
In the
game. I mean, that's one of the few times we saw a coaching staff out coach Texas. They just did a really good job. It's going to happen. I mean, you're human. You're not going to be perfect out there. Jameson Washington wants to know, who's next in the transfer portal. Who will it be? A linebacker, a punter, or a DB? I think if they go after somebody, it might be a DB potentially. But I like you said about linebacker. I think they like their young linebackers because it hadn't seemed like that's a position, an urgent position of need for them. I think if it was, you just saw Sark address it in transfer portal. He certainly was not shy about addressing the defensive tackle position going to the SEC. And they addressed the defensive back position, and they weren't shy about going after DBs in the transfer portal because they thought they needed that, especially after the departure of Terrence Brooks. I think they might like their linebackers, actually. They may like the linebackers they have in there. I haven't heard much, and I know they lost a couple of guys just because you lost Samaje Burrell. You lost Kendrick Blackshear. So maybe just for numbers' sake, Coach, yeah. I think right now they're at six scholarship linebackers, if my count is right in my head. You're at six of them. So maybe you just want somebody to share numbers, but I do think they like their linebackers. Otherwise, you know, Jameson's right. They probably would have gone after a linebacker just to have bodies there, sufficient numbers there, if they didn't like the group they have.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. And I think it's almost like, best available. You know, if they got a chance to get, to strengthen that linebacker room or DB room, it's going to be, I don't know that there's a huge, huge glaring need there for either one of them, although I think we have room. So, we might see two. You think we could take two more guys off the portal?
You got to look at what the scholarship numbers are. They probably can. You might be right about that. They may be able to. I got to look at the final numbers now with the scholarship numbers and see where
they
are.
Okay, but that does bring up a good question and one that I don't keep up with too much. What is the punting situation like? Is a punter a potential transfer portal guy?
Yeah. Or can you
– Well, we had our punter actually just got signed by Atlanta. By the Falcons, I saw.
Oh, I didn't see that. There you go.
Yeah, nice. I can't remember his name. Kid that transferred in this past season.
Nansen.
Yeah, he signed with the Falcons. So.
Oh, nice. Good news.
I don't know what you have behind him. I don't.
I think they might have a freshman that they brought in, but I mean that's a good point, Coach. I mean maybe that's a sleeper position that we're not thinking about that could be a transfer portal addition for the Longhorns. All right, thank you guys for the questions. We appreciate it. All right, getting ready to wrap this thing up. Thank you, Coach. We appreciate you and all your time, and thanks to CJ, my man, always out there on the road grinding for you guys. Thank you to all you guys out there for joining us today. We appreciate it. You're the most important part of this community, so thank you guys for joining us. Thanks to my man Matthew behind the scenes. He always does a great job. He's the real MVP. Thanks to our sponsors. I want to thank South Point Dodge. I want to thank the CarrotConcierge.com. Also want to thank our good folks at Flat Creek Estate Winery. And also, don't forget, you folks out there, if you're enjoying the content, because the folks, Bobby and Jerry, Matthew, everybody in his family, Coach too, they're working hard trying to bring you the best content possible. Become an OTF OG. We want you guys to become an OTF OG. You can join us over at OnTexasFootball.com. They're running a special right now, $20 off an annual subscription to the site. If you use the code OTFOG, that's OTFOG for $20 off instead of a $60 a year subscription. It's just $39.95, or you can get a monthly subscription for $5.95. For more insider news on the team and recruiting, make sure you check out OnTexasFootball.com and become an OG. Coach is an OG, that's for sure. So thank you, Coach. Appreciate your time. Thanks to Matthew. Thank you all you guys out there for listening. For the Owen Texas football family, until next time, hook 'em.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on.
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away!
Throw our last crunch berry!
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list. Teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.